الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفرأيت الذي كفر بآياتنا وقال لأوتين مالا وولدا أطلع الغيب أم اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا كلا سنكتب ما يقول ونمد له من العذاب مدا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in one occasion a kafir was taken as a prisoner, and on account of the injustices he was involved in, the hukam was passed that he has to be killed. He was caught for murder, for injustices against the Muslims and Islam, and a lot of damage he has caused, on account of which the hukam and the sentence was passed that this person will have to be killed. So he was brought forward, before he was to be executed. He asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that I desire to have some water. So the glass of water was brought. And he was about to drink. And then he says to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, but I have a fear within my heart that you people won't allow me to drink this water. Hazrat Umar said, no, you can have the water. So then he expresses himself in this way, that, oh Hazrat Umar, I feel that you people, you'll execute me before I drink the glass of water. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, till you do not drink the water, we will not kill you. So he takes that water and he throws it on the ground, on the sand. And he said, O Umar, you told that till I don't drink the water, you won't kill me. Now there is no water. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned to those present, he said that this man has deceived us, but we will not deceive him. He has deceived us, but our religion teaches us we won't deceive him. We won't deceive anybody. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, we set you free. This man says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and he enters into the fold of Islam. Then he says, that I knew Islam was the true religion, but the deep down hatred that I had, but looking at the honesty of the Muslims, that what this deen of Islam teaches, this won my heart today. And this person, he enters into the fold of Islam. Then we see another example in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. There was a certain Jew, and he had stolen the armor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. The case came before Qazi Shurai. He is the head Qazi in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, appointed by none other than Amirul Mumineen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And this is the case that has been open regarding the armor of Amirul Mumineen, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. The case is against the Amirul Mumineen and the Jew. So they come before the Qazi. The Qazi says that this is the claimant and you the defendant. According to the law of Islam, the law of equality, if a claim is made against any person, then proof should be furnished to establish the claim. O Amirul Mu'mineen, do you have any proof? Do you have witnesses? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is made to stand before the Qazi and the Jew, both are on equal standing in the court of law. There is no extra special attention being given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, no honor. He's not being treated in any different manner or different way. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, yes, I got two witnesses. One is my son Hassan, and the second is my freed slave Qumbur. So Qazi Shurai tells Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the testimony of the son in favor of the father is not accepted. The son has to bear witness in favor of his father. In Islam, that this will not be seen favorably. Islam won't accept this, because he's your son, so he has your interests at heart. He has mahabbat for you. So there's a bit of doubt that has entered in this witness of yours. So we will accept your freed slave's witnessing and his testimony on your behalf, but you need another witness here. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says to Qazi Shurai, then, O Qazi Shurai, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, glad tidings was given for my two sons, Hassan and Hussein. They're going to be the leaders of the youth of Jannah. When this is his maqam and his position in deen, then how is it that you're rejecting his shahadat, his testimony? So Qazi Shurai rahimullah, now Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he had a difference in this masla. According to him, perhaps that the testimony of a son in favor of the father was acceptable. Qazi Shurai says no, that we will not accept it. Immediately Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu bows down and he accepts. On account of not having two witnesses, which was the benchmark for accepting the claim of the claimant, so Hazrat Qazi Shurai passes the decision in favor of the Jew. Says that you couldn't furnish the complete evidence, two witnesses you didn't have to prove your case. So we pass the decision in favor of the Jew. Immediately the Jew, when the armor was given to him, there he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He enters into the fold of Islam. He says, really, this armor doesn't belong to me, I stole it. But now, seeing the truth of Islam, the honesty of Islam and the Muslims, I hand this armor to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. I give it to him. I give it back to him. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, you can have the armor. Allahu Akbar. This person becomes a very, very committed and devout servant of Allah. He remained with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu till the end of his life. Until in the battle of Siffin, he fought on the side of Ali radiallahu anhu and became shaheed in the path of Allah. If we look at the first incident, then we look at the second incident. What we understand from this, that in both these incidents, it was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in the heart of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that I am going to be accountable by Allah. That a case was open, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to ask me that you did not deal with this person with justice, that you told him as long as he does not drink the water, he will not be sentenced to death, he will not be executed. You have to fulfill your word. In the time, in the case of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was unable to present the witnesses, the evidence, and we find the decision was passed in favor of the Jew. But look at the outcome of this. Is that the enemies of Islam are looking at the justice of the Muslims, the justice of Islam, and this is the thing that that is going to win their hearts. But then the lesson we also learn here is that in the hearts of the Sahaba, they had the fear of Allah. And this was the distinguishing factor between our lives and their lives. The thing that made them successful, the thing that made them triumph over the enemy and win the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards themselves, it was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the fear of reckoning in the court of Allah. This accountability, reckoning on the day of judgment, a person who has this fear within his heart, this will be the dominating factor in his life to keep him on haq and to keep him away from batil. To keep him in the obedience of Allah and to protect him from sin. A person is all alone. In the month of Ramadan, he is feeling quite hungry or thirsty in the scorching heat. There's nobody there in his home. The fridges are full of things to drink. Whatever he desires, he can just open that fridge, he can take it out and he can drink it. But what is that force that is going to stop him at that moment from breaking his fast and displeasing Allah? It's the fear of Allah. It's the fear of Allah. Accountability in the court of Allah is what he's concerned about. He has respect for the command of Allah that my roza is farz. On account of my passion and desire, I won't destroy this farz. I will not disobey Allah. Finally, some person has to tell him, no, I'll pay you also. Break your roza. He's got the fear of Allah at heart, he won't do it. Let's look at an example in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one sahabi by the name of Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu. So he had some business dealings with Aas bin Wail. So Aas bin Wail asked him to make a sword for him. So he prepared the sword. He was a blacksmith by profession. So Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, he prepares the sword. In certain ahadith, in certain narrations, it is mentioned that Aas bin Wail asked Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu for a loan. So he gave him some money. Perhaps maybe he had both types of dealings. So the time came for him to receive his wealth, receive payment for the workmanship that he had done. So he goes to Aas bin Wail, that kafir. And he asked him, he said, that money you owe me, pay me. So Aas bin Wail tells Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu, he said, no, I'm not going to pay you this wealth. This money that you are asking me, you're demanding payment from me, I'm not going to give you this. Until and unless you do not reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the risalat and nubuwat of Nabi alayhi salam, till you do not reject it, I won't pay you your wealth. In other words, you must become a kafir, become like me, come on the same deen that I am on, worshipping the idols, then I will pay you your dues, I'll pay you your wealth. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu, the world and what it contained didn't mean anything to him before the command of Allah. So his immediate response, he told him, he says that, oh, ask if you have to die. Then I do not mind that I don't get this wealth. From now till the time you die, doesn't mean anything to me. Until even the time where you are going to be resurrected before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, till that time also, if you have to ask me, from now till the day of judgment, where you die, and there's such a long, lengthy period passes that you're going to be resurrected. Till that period, at that time, you ask me for this wealth. If I wish to acquire this wealth from you, I must reject Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not going to be prepared for it. So Aas bin Wail says, oh, there is a thing like life after death. There's a thing like akhirat. that after we die, a day will come, we will be brought back to life, resurrected. He said, yes, there will be a thing like this. So Aas bin Wail says, he says, well, if that is to happen, then after I'm resurrected, I'll have a lot of wealth, I'll have my children, I'll have my pomp and glory, I'll have everything. That day I'll come and pay, I'll pay you. You can pick up your, you pick up your check that time, you know. I say, pick up the money that time. So Aas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu wasn't interested. He made his stance quite clear. He told that I will never ever reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam till the day of Qiyamah can come. And you have to be resurrected before Allah. I'm not prepared for it. You see, Allah loved the Sahaba so much, so much. You know, the maqam of Sahaba of Allah. They were the true heroes of this ummah. They were the true leaders. Who are our leaders? The Sahaba. And we look at the lives of Sahaba, then they followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the T. They were his true representatives in the world. They were his true men, the men of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were the Sahaba. Allah Rabbul Izzat praises the Sahaba so many places in the Quran Sharif. Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Allah. So on this occasion, when this dialogue and this discussion took place between Aas bin Wail, the kafir, Khabbab radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, Quran came down. Immediately Quran came down. Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا. Then, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see that person who rejected our signs, our verses? وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالُوا وَوَلَدَا. And he makes this claim that no, after Qiyamah, after resurrection, if there is a thing like this, I will have many, many children. I will have a lot of wealth in abundance. I will have all this. أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالُوا وَوَلَدَا. أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ أَمِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ عَهْدًا. Allah says, has he peeped into the unseen to see that all this is in store for him in the year after? Or did he make a deal with Allah? Did he take a covenant from Allah that Allah is going to give him all these things? Allah says, كَلَّا never. We will never give him anything. سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. Everything is on record. Whatever he's speaking, whatever he's saying, his every move, we are recording it in the book of the hereafter. In his Nami Amal, we're recording everything. وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. When he comes to us, we will extend the punishment. In great extension, we'll give him a lot of punishment. وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْضًا. And all this wealth that he boasts over, he's going to leave it behind when he's going to leave this world. We will inherit the wealth and we will give it to whomsoever we wish. He'll come to us all alone, like the day we created him. So Allah Rabbul Izzat is speaking about these verses, impressing upon the ummah of Rasulullah SAW, and these are not mere tales or stories of the people of the past. Is that we bring this to heart and we realize that how the Sahabi responded, we all should also respond. How the Sahabi conducted, we should also conduct. That this power that was with the Sahaba, what was that power? Accountability before Allah. Fear of reckoning. Fear to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. This should be the dominant feature in the life of a mu'min. Like how in the month of Ramadan, he won't want to open that fridge, take out something and help himself, though he knows there's nobody there. There's nobody there to watch him. He knows Allah is watching. So similarly, he said the fear of Allah, fear of accountability and reckoning should be there at every moment. When he's dealing with a believer or a disbeliever, when he's in his business or he's in home, whether he's on vacation or whether he is in public, at every moment he should have the fear of Allah at heart. Fear of reckoning. At the time when he's got that cell phone in his hand, when he's viewing the internet, at that moment also he should remember Allah is watching him. This aspect of accountability, the fear of akhirat, the fear of the time of mort, how I'm going to leave this world, this should be the thing that should be dominating our heart and our minds at every moment and every time. See, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is at the end of his life. and he was stabbed by Abu Lu'lu, the kafir, Persian slave. As Umar radiallahu anhu, he went on the musalla to perform the Fajr Salah, and he was stabbed. And so many times he was stabbed until he had fallen unconscious. In the end, he was caught, and then he stabs himself, he kills himself. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was taken home, and the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in were all grieving around Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. We can imagine what a sad day it was for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Samura radiallahu anhu, he comes in, he sees Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu in this state, that he's in blood, he spoke, he stabbed so many times, he's unconscious. So he asked the people, that did Hazrat Umar perform his Fajr Salah? So they say that no, he's unconscious. He says, no, the Fajr Salah, even in this state also. And then he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, as-salah. Immediately Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes to his senses. He just hears Salah. And immediately he comes to his senses. And then he says, yes indeed, لَيْسَ لَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ حَزٌّ لِمَنْ لَيْسَ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ. The one who does no salah in his life, he got no share of Islam in him. It was just in that state that this told salah in his ears, immediately he woke up. And the first question he asked, did the Sahaba perform their salah? He said, yes, the Sahaba performed the salah. And then he performed this salah in the state. Thereafter he says to his son, he called his son, it's a lengthy incident. At the end of the life of Umar, what happens? But he asks Ibn Umar, his son, he says that go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's home and go and ask her permission if I can be buried in her room next to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq. But when you go to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, don't tell her Amirul Mu'mineen is requesting. Perhaps maybe she'll feel obliged to accept hearing my name, Amirul Mu'mineen. She would perhaps think it a command. I'm no more Amirul Mu'mineen. I'm about to leave this world now. And there Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar goes. And then he requests her. And she says, it was my desire to be buried in my room next to my father and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Umar is that personality that every right that we'll have, we'll sacrifice it for his pleasure, to give it to him. We'll give Umar everything. Tell him, indeed, I will be buried in the general cemetery of the Muslims in Baqi. And then when Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar comes home and he informs his father was waiting, Hazrat Umar was waiting. And he says, what did she say? He says, no, she gave permission. Hazrat Umar became so happy. He says, throughout my life, this was the greatest concern I had. Throughout my life, as long as he was Amirul Mumineen, 10 years of his Khilafat, what was the dominant fikr and concern in his heart? My last moment, how it will be, whether I will have that honor to be buried next to Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr Siddiq. That. He says, Alhamdulillah, Allah has accepted this dua of mine. But then he says that after I pass away, then take my janazah, passes at Aisha's home, and go and ask her one more time, perhaps maybe in my lifetime. She fell hard to say no. After I pass away, there won't be anything stopping her. You ask her again. If she says that no, she wants to be buried there, then bury me in Baqi. And if she allows, then only you bury me there. So this aspect of the fear of Allah, the fikr, concern for giving an account in the court of Allah, a reckoning, this should be the main concern in the life of a mu'min. The distinguishing factor between a kafir and a mu'min is this, is akhirat. That one day our eyes are going to close from this world, we all know it. And death knows no age. Yes, young people are passing away. We don't know when our time is to come. So the time to put our records right, our books in order, not the SARS over here, the SARS upstairs will catch us. You know. Where the farishtas will be there. With all the book of deeds, how are we going to face Allah? So if we have problems with our relatives, we have problems with our neighbors, we have problems with anybody, at the time when we're leaving this world, our record should be straight, should be clean. Allah must be happy. The farishtas should be happy. Insan must be happy. Everybody must be happy with us. When we're leaving, they should be crying over us, and we should be happy to leave, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhidawana, alhamdulillahi.